Hey there, folks. We just want to take a minute before the podcast starts to apologize. Last week, during our apology, Kioran said that Elon Musk's full name is Elongated Musk, and we've been told that he's very upset by this.
It is true. That's his name.
Yes, but...
It is his name, but he doesn't want people to know that, and by revealing it, it sort of put us in a weird position.
It gives people power over him. The lawyers told us.
Yeah, and he specifically doesn't like that. And so we are apologizing on behalf of what we've said and on behalf of Keo for our actions. Again, his name is Elongated Musk, but he doesn't like that, so just act like we didn't say that.
Yeah, well, you didn't say it, I said it.
Well, yeah, just act like Keo never said it. Don't at him and call him Elongated Musk. Don't go to his house and knock on his door and say, "Is Elongated Musk there?"
Don't post Elon Musk on Twitter, but put a B emoji, the red B, in front of it.
Yeah, don't do any of that. Don't do any of this stuff. And again, we just want to apologize to Mr. Musk. We know he's a very important man who is not at all...
the most important.
He's the most important man. He's a big boy.
Some say that he's the Jesus of computers.
True, I do right now. He's the Jesus of computers. He's a big boy who does a lot of big boy things.
It is true that he is 6'3".
He has a rocket.
That's right. He's a rocket that he personally takes to Mars.
Yeah, we're sorry. And now on to the show.
This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, head over to bigheadsmedia.com.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to the Pod of the Hawk. It's a Berserk podcast brought to you by us at TV Tuners. I'm your host, Swanson. With me, as always, is my co-host and guy who doesn't really care if I leave, Stairmaster.
Whatever. I will never acknowledge your smooth, fit-for-radio voice.
Alright, well, I mean, that's your prerogative. I'm going to continue to sort of just ignore what you're saying to me. And I'm just going to keep doing my thing, and I guess eventually I'll prove you wrong. Or you'll die? One of those two will happen. Maybe both. And with us, as always, of course, our other co-host, and Princess, who's really excited to see her friend arrive in her room. Kioran.
Yeah, look, if Griffith is in your window, you're not going to let him in?
That'd be a very exciting scenario. To you.
Yeah, Griffith in my window? Please come in. Especially if it's raining. He'll catch a cold.
It's like that scene from The Simpsons, Smithers' Dream.
it did sort of play like that in my mind, yeah. But yes, welcome to another exciting edition of The Pod of the Hawk, our penultimate episode. Eagle-eyed listeners might have noticed that 25 episodes does not evenly divide into three for each week that we do this show.
Yeah, we're sorry.
You can see with your eyes. You can look at the number and see the three underneath it.
And that's why we would like to issue an apology. Roll the music.
No. No apologies necessary. So this is our final episode where we'll be watching three episodes, because next week we're watching four.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's right. We're ending with a big episode when we watch all the final four. I'm sure nothing crazy will happen. I've been told that it's just pretty run of the mill.
I mean, it's a conclusion.
I'm told that they hang out, and that's all.
Yeah, I'm told it's very. It's been described to me by people, trusted sources, as Friends-esque. And I have to believe him on that. So, but yeah, it's another exciting addition here. And of course, before we move much further into the pod, as always, I'd like to say that if you have a question, a quip, comment, otherwise, you can send them to us at our email address. That's right, and we'll read them aloud on the podcast.
Probably.
Send them to tvtunerspodcast@gmail.com. What's that email, Kiorain?
tvtunerspodcast@gmail.com.
That's right.
That's right. You could be like Gio, who sent us this email. Ladies Swanson. Fellas.
Go on.
I was going over the numbers. Turns out a vast majority of our listener base is single. It might smell to you like crusty sheets, but it smells to me like money. $$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$ You get that ball rolling, and we might be cashing checks from Axe Body Spray come November. Okay, I might have dated the email a little bit. Which is dope, because you would not believe how goddamn expensive a motherfucking turkey costs these days. Again, this is post-Thanksgiving.
We're sorry. We'd like to issue an apology.
Go on. Roll the music. Try it out. What are chicks into? What are guys into? Y'all start riffing. I'm going to go get us a kettleball deal. Gio.
I think women like it when you say their boobs are nice.
But you have to you have to know them for at least 2 hours first.
Yeah.
Before you can start.
That's the that's the thing. You got to get into it. You got to get into.
Is that what the second base refers to?
That's right. First base, first hour. Second base, second hour. By the fourth hour, you're home.
And also, I find it helps to. You need to have your secret technique at least mastered, like partially. Like you need to be able to demonstrate it without making a mistake the first time you show it off.
True.
So it doesn't need to be perfect, but you gotta be able to show off. You can do it.
Women are also, I've heard, into you saying that you want to make love to them 1,000 times over.
No, 1,000,000 times.
Yeah. I've heard that's a real charming move. It really, especially if you're big and strong.
And then like you look down and then like you seem almost shaken by what you're saying, and then like you look up with this horrified look in your eyes and you say, "Wait, 1,000,000,000."
No, don't do that.
Yeah, you have to be big and strong to make this work though. So try working out.
And also, if you're short, go get that experimental bone lengthening surgery.
Yeah, you have to be tall, too. Where they break
your legs. If you don't have the money for that, rob a bank.
Stilts are also an option for certain individuals.
Women do appreciate a man who's talented.
True. Also, if you have the ability to move a cherry in between your tongue, that really impresses some ladies.
Oh, yeah. Then they will be asking what else you can do with that tongue.
Now, here's what you can do to really impress the ladies. So, first thing you want to do is you want to get, like, a hat with, like,
feather?
Like, tassels. No, not feather, but tassels on the end of it. And then, like, you get, like, a really colorful tunic. And you put that on. Mm-hmm. And then you master the art of juggling.
Okay.
Face paint is optional for this, by the way.
Yeah, you can. You also want to get, like, little, like, little shoes with like that curl up on the end, and
or
you can get a car. Women like it when men have cars.
Yeah, like one that goes like vroom.
You can get your own car, and you can get a used one for like pretty cheap, like under $1,000.
Yeah, and all you have to do is go up and be like, "I have a car."
Yeah, the woman will get in and have sex with you.
That's right. Yeah, you say that too.
You say, "I have a car, but it's parked 10 miles away from me."
Come with me into this dark parking lot.
We've discussed enough what chicks are into, but there's another part of this question. What are guys into?
I don't know.
Well, unfortunately, I have no advice for that. I'm only interested in anime women, which don't exist, except for VTubers.
I like hamburgers. I guess guys like that.
Yeah. Yeah, invite a guy out for hamburgers. They'll always come.
You can make, a Gundam model kit and show them that. They'll think that's cool. Yeah,
they'll be like, that's cool. Also, it helps if you look like Griffith.
Or Char.
Or Char Aznable. I mean, it's pretty much the same, just different hair colors.
Yes.
Hey, Stairmaster. Do you want to go to Five Guys with me?
Oh, that'd be cool. Wow. I'm being crushed by Kian's dream.
Yeah, also, it helps if you have your own dream and you're not just following someone else's. Guys really like that. Anyway,
also, if you're good at Ultimate Frisbee, guys are into that too.
Oh yeah, dudes love Frisbee.
I think that covers all the bases.
Yeah, throwing the disc back and forth, man. Classic. But yeah, I think we've successfully answered your question, Gio. And you could be like Gio. All you got to do is send your burning questions and statements to us, tvtunerspodcast@gmail.com.
We'll get to it in a timely manner at tvtunerspodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. It's not... Gio definitely did not send this to me months ago.
Oh, no.
To be fair, in a deluge of other emails, but still. Anyway, before that out of the way, there's one last thing I gotta ask us before we move on here. What'd you guys watch? Anything interesting? Fun? Something you want to talk about?
I watched Getting Any, directed by Takashi Kitano.
The director of Violent Cop?
And Sonatine, and Hanabi, and Boiling Point, and Brothers.
Well, get any?
Getting Any is a comedy about a man who watches a pornography and decides that if he has a car, he can get sex.
Oh.
That's his entire motivation is to get laid.
And does he?
No.
Oh.
He has no interior life whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. It turns out ladies do like you having some sort of...
car, yeah.
Well, not just a car, but some sort of life.
It's like he made some sort... It's like Takashi Kitano made a theatrical shit post. I have to describe it. Like the way... He shoots all the joke scenes the same way he shoots violence in his movies. In a weird, dry, detached way. And, like, the first scene, he goes to the car dealership. He's like, I would like to buy a car. And the dealer's like, for what? And he's like, to have sex in. And there's just, like, a beat. And the dealer walks off, like... And then cut to him in the car with the female salesman. And they're, like, posing for sex.
So he does?
No, they're not having sex.
Oh, okay.
But they're just trying out he just demonstrated the convertible by using his female associate. And then there's another... He's like... And then he just complains that it's not comfortable. And the salesman's like, it's adjustable. And he moves her arms. Anyways, you can't afford
it. Art of the deal.
Yeah, art of the deal.
That's true. It is in the book. There's five whole chapters dedicated to it.
Anyways, this is like 6 minutes of the movie.
Oh, wow.
That I've described like at 30 times the length with my stumbling words. Sorry.
But it's good. It's a good movie.
Yes.
Okay.
It makes you smile and laugh. It
made you go, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, and then he gives up on getting a car like halfway through and decides to become a movie actor.
Okay.
This is after trying to rob multiple banks in order to buy a car. And then he gets kicked out of the movie industry.
And this ends well for him?
Now he... Then he ends up a hitman for the Yakuza.
And that ends well for him.
Well, everyone dies but him and the Yakuza. So then he just follows a lady to a female bathhouse. It's like, hey, if I was invisible, I could peep on people. And then Takashi Kitano shows up as a scientist. He's like, I'm looking for people for my invisibility experiments.
Oh, exciting.
And then he ends up turning into a fly man. So the Earth's Defense Force has to lure him into a stadium to beat him to death with a giant fly swatter robot. The end.
Sounds normal. Sounds like exactly what I thought would be.
And everyone in the film in the last shot is cheering for his death.
Were you cheering for his death?
A little. Yeah, it was a little. I was just glad that it was over. I felt so bad for him. I also watched Sonatine, directed by Takashi Kitano.
I'm sensing a pattern here.
Which is a meditation on a life dominated by violence. And whether you can find happiness or not.
Oh, and so also he's Martin Scorsese.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
If Martin Scorsese liked hanging out on the beach with his friends.
Not as much.
Which is like 80% of the movie.
I like hanging out on the beach.
Well, then you'll like this movie.
I watched Bleach.
Oh, it's like a beach.
Yeah. I kept telling Keo he had to see the episode.
Yeah.
Well, I told him he had to see the cold open.
So you watched... Well,
I'm not sure if I got the right one. Was it the one that was super hardcore, deadly,
yes.
Bloody kill time?
Yes!
That was hardcore.
Yeah, that was pretty hardcore.
That was insane.
Crazy.
So this is the new Bleach.
Yeah. As in the one that aired this week at the time of recording this episode.
And Keo hasn't watched any of the other episodes, or?
I watched the first couple episodes.
And then he got bored.
Well, I ran out of time to watch them because it was today I watched them.
Oh.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah, but it's great.
Yeah, it's a good start. It's like a new show almost.
But wait, did you see that cold open that I told you to?
How
crazy
did I watch
hardcore
it?
Violent one?
Yeah, I saw it. How do I know if it was crazy hardcore violent?
I guess there's a lot of people are getting got on Bleach now.
Yeah.
But anyways, this...
Yeah, I don't remember Bleach ever being this brutal.
Well, the manga was. They toned it down for the TV. Because the standards were different back in 2004.
So you're saying this is Bleach for adults?
Yeah, Bleach for adults.
Damn.
Anyways, this week's episode starts with a flashback to, like, the 13 court guards 1,000 years ago. And those guys do not fuck around. One of them just grabs, like, two Quincy dudes and smashes their skulls together.
Oh. That's hardcore.
And instead of just having a one-on-one with the big bad, the old guy's lieutenant just crawls into a pile of corpses and stabs him from behind. So the old guy can just kill him easily.
That also sounds brutal.
And you get a close-up of the sword going through his body, and him going, ow!
Whoa. And that's what he says, ow?
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, that's what I would say, probably.
He sort of makes like a colon left slash sort of face.
And when I'm saying like the show's more brutal than I thought, I was not talking about like the fight sequences, which I know that those were heavily censored, but like I'm pretty sure they just kind of showed a genocide happening on screen in the first couple episodes, which usually they just kind of mention genocides happening, right?
Yeah.
They just had this guy who was just like, I'm just going to start just slaughtering these people right here, just kill him.
Who's also dressed like a Nazi. And has German attack names.
Yeah.
And he's
having
like,
a normal
this
one.
Is cool.
Yeah.
He's like, this is what I want.
And his superpower revolves around putting people in prison.
Oh, so he's a cop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the most despicable character I've seen.
Average police officer.
Yeah, this just your average cop. This is what it sounds like to me.
Run-of-the-mill officer.
So that's a tune-in on the new Bleach, I take it?
Yes.
Okay.
Greatest of all time.
All right, then. I watched... There's really only one thing I want to talk about that I watched this week. And it's time, boys. The season finale of Andor aired, and...
Andor? What?
Yeah, the new Star Andor? Wars show based
and
off of...
Andor?
That guy... Yeah, Andor. Based off of that guy you might vaguely remember from Rogue One, which was a movie that happened at one point.
Anyway. Yet to be verified.
Get a load of this, guys. Just imagine this scenario, if you will, for a second.
Wait, let me get to my mind space.
Yeah, your mind palace.
My mind house.
Yeah.
Okay, now imagine there's a TV show for the franchise known as Star Wars.
I gotta really try hard to imagine this one. I got it. All right, I see like the little alien guys.
Okay.
I see. Ooh, is that? No, Boba Fett left.
That's right. Yeah. Now imagine that there's very little in the way of established characters, and that we're sort of just focusing on this era where. We have a little more leeway in what we can do, and imagine a show, if you will, that plays like an actual television show. It's not like a TV show where people are getting quests like it's a video game, and everyone's talking like they're in a video game.
Okay, I'm seeing all these annoying characters leaving. Okay, they're walking out of the. I guess this is a space desert in my mind palace here. They're leaving.
Now imagine that this show also contains. A lot of characters who are well written and speak like actual people with like engaging dialogue.
Hold on. I'm gonna have to construct a bunch of interesting character designs and motives now. Okay, all right, I got him. All right,
and now imagine that throughout these.
Wait. Oh? One of my guys' names is Jeremy, like it's Jeremy, but with spelled with a G. That's his name.
Almost as dumb as one of the names in this. Yeah.
Okay, I got the whole premise down. Okay, so it's. Basically, it's just taking place in the Star Wars universe, but it's not like these stupid fan servicey, poorly written, blah blah shows that they've been airing. Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much Andor.
All right. So you set the stage. I've got all the characters lined up. They're ready to have a great finale. What happens?
Everything comes together perfectly. Like all of the strands that have been put out throughout the last 11 episodes happen, and. Hey, listen, would you know it? All of the characters have reached the point in their arc that they were supposed to by the end of this season.
Oh my god, this is really great. I'm really enjoying watching this unfolding in my mind palace.
Yeah, it's just, and you know what? It's just as good to watch in real life.
I don't know.
But no.
This is incredible.
Without getting into too many spoilers, Andor kicks ass. I know it's a low bar, but it's the best... thing that's come out in Star Wars since Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe expectations have been so dirt low because Obi-Wan and Boba Fett both sucked.
You sound like a battered housewife.
How are things going in your mind, palace? You're imagining it too, right, Stair?
Yeah.
Well... Oh, okay. The characters all started having sex in my mind palace.
Shame.
Now.
It also helps that it was made by the brothers who made Nightcrawler and Michael Clayton and some other really good movies.
So. Well, I'm glad they managed to like produce something that's not garbage for the Star Wars franchise.
Yeah,
because
it's dope.
And you kept showing me these products that were ostensibly Star Wars.
Bad news.
Which I've not yet verified that those claims. Those were not good.
Bad news. Char showed up in the Zeon in my mind palace and blew up all the Star Wars characters effortlessly.
I mean, it would be cool if that happened.
Well, there's something similar happened in my mind palace, except there was no violence. It was just Goku showed up. And now, like, I can't see any of the other characters. It's just like Goku.
Stare, would you be more interested in Andor if I told you there's a prison arc?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I feel like, because also it's like the best arc in the, so it's 12 episodes and they sort of play out like different arcs. There's like a heist, there's a heist arc, there's a spy arc.
How many episodes are there?
12 altogether. So, hey, another thing to think about, maybe 6 episodes is shitty for your prestige television show based off of a big franchise. Maybe you need more episodes to, you know, flesh out these new characters that you're throwing at us.
I want to see Boba Fett, and he says, "I will rule with honor.
I'm going to rule with honor and dignity."
When I think of Boba Fett, I think of honor.
Yeah, also, these characters don't just show up and say, "I'm rebelling. I'm joining the rebellion now." They have complicated thoughts and feelings about everything.
Swanson, what I want to see is I want a scene where one character is asking questions to the other character, and the other character is giving information back to the person asking questions. And then they tell the person that they need to do something. And then the person asking the questions goes to do the thing the person giving answers told them to go do. That's what I want to see.
Also, I feel like it needs to be said, it's cool to have a Star Wars show that feels like actually radical. They treat the Empire like a... like an empire, an overbearing, domineering fascist society would. And they also treat the birth of a rebellion like you would expect a rebellion to rise up from that setting.
Well, I'm sure they'll tone that down second season now that Disney Corporate is paying attention to the show.
Yeah, it is kind of wild that they were able to get away with so much. They have a literal character who makes a socialist manifesto for a rebellion.
Oh boy. Hope that doesn't get ruined.
But yeah, it's dope. It's great stuff. I can't recommend it enough. I don't know what more superlatives I can add to it other than it's cool, kicks ass. Give it a watch. I think you'll like it. And that's it for me. So I think that's all that's left to do is discuss this week's episodes on Berserk.
True.
Okay.
We don't do anything else on this podcast.
It's true.
What happened on Berserk? Wait. What happened on Berserk?
What? What happened? Is Guts all right?
Is Guts okay?
Is Guts sleeping?
Yeah, last we left off on our friends, people were finding out that Guts was leaving. And more of that happens in this first episode.
Guts is in fact leaving.
Yeah, well, we learned. And the episode title even clues us in. It's the first episode we watched this week, Parting. Guts is making his way through the snow. He's told Casca, "Hey, good luck, bye," pretty much. And Rickard and Corcus show up and they're like, "I guess we should discuss some things.
Let's talk about our feelings."
And Guts is talking about his feelings in the middle of Corcus trying to hit on some ladies. Like, Corcus does not care. This fucking guy.
He has his priorities.
The entire, he's talking and Jado is like, "Hey, why don't you have some respect for what Guts is talking about here?" And Quirk is like, "I don't give a shit. This guy's like, not a real fighter. Guts.
You're a trash little man. Never did anything. Never accomplished nothing."
Yeah, he's like, "Judo. You think you have dreams? You don't have no dreams. You can't have a dream."
Yeah, Judo. We don't need Guts. I can pilot the double Zeta.
Pretty much, yeah. What's a good analog for Corcus in terms of crew members from Gundam and Zeta Gundam?
Like, you know how there's like the evil mirror world in Metroid and Zelda? Like, if Kai Shinden, Kai went to one of those and met his counterpart,
yeah,
that would be Corcus.
I could believe, if you had told me that Corcus and Kai were voiced by the same person, I'd believe it.
And Guts' reaction to all this is just like, okay.
Yeah, Corcus. Bye. For the next, for all of three of these episodes, Corcus is on one. Every time, Guts is around. And Guts' reaction every time is to just no-sell everything Corcus says to him.
Corcus is like having an existential crisis. Nobody cares or notices.
Oh, yeah. Jado mentions that Corcus had a band of thieves, and I guess he lost them at some point.
it's not mentioned in the anime, but also Corcus or Pippin was a miner before he joined the Band of Hawks in Griffith's village.
But yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Corcus, I guess, at some point lost his dream, and we just sort of see Corcus angrily walking through town. But yeah. Everyone, Guts continues walking away. He's like, "All right, well, that was a fun conversation. Bye." And he gets ready to go.
He's like, "Corcus wouldn't be me. I'm done with this life."
Yeah. He's like, "See ya." And so he keeps going, and he sees everybody there, like, off to see him goodbye. Rickard's like, "How come you didn't tell anybody, Guts?" And Guts like, "I'm leaving, see ya." And Griffith steps out, and he's like, "No, you're not."
He's like, Guts.
Yeah.
He's like, "Guts, you're my little man." Yeah, and there's a scenic sunrise as the camera pans out.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It looks beautiful.
Is there a Berserk Perfect Shots Twitter account that's going
to
be?
I think
that's
your chance, Keo, to make it big on Twitter.
Yeah, and it would be this, and then whatever horrible shit happens in the next four episodes.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like the perfect shot of like gore.
Gore. But yeah, Griffith's like, "There's only one way that this is going to work. We have to have a rematch. One final fight."
Well, that was pretty hype.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. And we get, like, lots of feelings going on here. We get into the mind of literally all three of our principal characters here. Mm-hmm. Casca's, like, wrestling with the fact that she has feelings for Guts. Guts is, like... Guts is thinking about how he can't be following Griffith's dream anymore. He needs his own dream. He needs to strike out on his own. Griffith like plans out in this moment exactly when to strike and how to strike but not kill Guts. But then he's also like, "Well, if I kill him, though, it's not that big. It's better than him leaving."
And I mean, they are fighting swords. Yeah, yeah.
He's also kind of shook by Guts's conviction here.
Yeah. And Griffith makes like this big plan, and he strikes and immediately gets his sword cut in half. One strike is all Guts needs.
Guts jobs him right there. He's just like,
yeah, he jobs him out.
Well, it's like you have all this hype, and then it happens, and you're like, "Oh yeah, how else could that have gone?"
It's a Goldberg match. He finishes the job, and Corcus is like beside himself because the entire time this is happening, Corcus is like, "I don't care about this dude. He sucks. Without Griffith, he's nothing, and he could never fight. He could never beat Griffith." And then he keeps saying it's a fluke afterwards.
He's about to cry,
and Guts he cuts his sword in half, and Griffith falls to his knees. And Guts says goodbye and just walks away. Top 10 coldest moments.
Doesn't even look back.
No, Casca's literally screaming his name, and he does not look back.
He's trying to be nice to Griffith.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it were me, I'd be like really rubbing it in. I'd be like, "Get wrecked, noob."
And yeah, so he leaves. And Griffith's beside himself, and everyone's like, "Damn, can't believe that happened to Griffith." So Griffith goes, and he goes to Princess Charlotte's window, and he's just like, "Hey, what's up, baby?"
He's like, "I'm down bad. How about you?"
And
how do you like your eggs?
Yeah, he gives her a smooch, and she's like, "Whoa. I didn't know we were at that base already, Griffith." And Griffith's
"Well, they've been talking for several hours. They've hung out a bunch."
That's true, yeah. That's why Griffith decided to go home. And Griffith's like, "How about I show you more?" Things get a little... Griffith is obviously forcing himself on her, which is, "Hey, Griffith, not cool, dude."
Yeah, Griffith is a monster.
Hashtag canceled.
I can't believe you do this.
This is why we had to reclaim the name of the podcast.
Yeah, this is why. This particular incident.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine him doing anything worse.
Well, yeah. Considering what happens to him next.
Yeah, I mean...
A.K.A. Karma.
Yeah. But,
So, yeah, the maid hears it.
Yeah, you can't trust anyone in this dang castle, man. The maid's just roaming around.
Who does that?
Yeah.
How dare she hear the incredibly loud sex sounds?
For real, though, because, I mean, listen...
He's hitting those back walls.
Yeah. So much so that it's hitting the back walls of the castle. Because, I mean, like, castles aren't necessarily known for being, like... places that you can easily hear noises from down from like far away.
Yeah,
the stone kind of has a bit has a way of trapping noise. So like this lady isn't even like is down the hallway and she can hear
and
it.
She's
so
immediately like, oh no!
She's like, Griffith's laying pipe.
She doesn't even know who's doing it.
Well, obviously she does.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't his downfall that he doesn't quickly leave after he's done?
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah. Let this be a lesson to everybody. Of course.
That's what they mean by pump and dump.
Griffith stayed until the morning, which was his problem. He needed to leave that night.
Yeah, but it was raining.
He really got wet.
Yeah. True. Well, I mean.
Hey. We can't joke about this. This is a very serious situation.
Right. I'm sorry. I would like to issue an apology. Roll the music.
But yeah, Griffith gets down with it, and he's like...
That white boy busts it down, sexual style.
Griffith does.
And he faces the consequences.
He faces the consequences the next day. He leaves and he's like, haha, no one suspects a thing. And then 80 million soldiers show up and they're all like, were you just fucking the princess? And he's like, Griffith's like tugging his collar. He's like, You might wonder how I got into this situation. And there's a sort of heartbreaking line where Griffith he takes a stance where he's like, I'm about ready to fuck these dudes up. And then he's like, my sword. And you know, if Guts hadn't broken his sword, maybe things would have turned out different.
He wouldn't have done that really, really stupid thing.
I guess that's true. He would have never had to be in a position to kill all of these soldiers, but... But yeah, he gets apprehended.
Yeah, and this apprehension is worse than you can possibly imagine. The person who authored this story is a real sicko, a real freak.
Yeah. But hey, before we get into that, of course, we jump ahead. A year has passed in our second episode, The Spark. And a year has passed, and we open on some tournament happening in some place. And we get introduced to this dude, the Prince of Massacre.
Yeah, who killed over 100 Midland soldiers.
And he's about to have a bout with another dude. And
the point is he's stealing Guts' valor.
Yes. And Guts shows up and he's like, hey, you don't mind if I just fight this guy real quick, right? And the king's like, oh, yeah, let's see this fight. And Guts immediately cuts his sword down in one strike. And then he's like, this guy's like, I yield. And everyone's like, cheering.
Why are you making fun of him, Swanson? Would you have continued the bout?
No.
In his situation? Yes. Huh?
I would have bit his blade.
Well, I know you would have, Keo. You're the bravest of us all.
Yeah, Keo's thank you. Keo looks death in the eye every day.
Yep, I'm still strutting.
And you're constantly calling Swanson little man.
Swanson takes it like a little man.
No, I'm a big man.
I mean, I know Swanson's like got some kind of plan to What was he going to do to me, Stare? I forgot.
Assassinate you.
Oh.
Yeah, I have a goblet coming out that I'm going to want you to take a sip of.
Well, now that I know that's once, and you just made a terrible mistake, because I'm not going to drink it.
Oh, well, I mean, like, I have multiple goblets.
And you will get thirsty.
Yeah.
That's looking at all these though, goblets.
Is I know your weakness, which is that you have an insatiable thirst for beverage.
I'll just drink out of the regular cup.
Damn.
Damn, I didn't think this part through. Right, who brought in the regular cups?
You did.
I got the red Solo cup right
you
here.
You said we could just throw the cups away instead of having to wash them.
Damn. I wanted nothing but goblets in this house.
Now, what is this drink anyway?
Oh, it's like a little bubbling seltzer.
We have that?
Yeah.
That's the thing?
Yeah, why does that sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah, its flavor is like, I don't know, fruit.
Okay. Well, why are you pouring it to the goblet?
What do you mean? Is that you want to pour it in the regular cup?
Yeah.
You want me to pour a little in your cup? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pour it in the regular cup so it's not poison.
Yeah, I guess that's how it works. Yeah, you're right. You're the smart guy. You're the big man.
You're the brains of the podcast.
Yeah, I'm just a little man. Give me that.
And I'm sort of like
little man.
I'm sort of like the gonards of the podcast.
True.
So yeah, Guts is like he lives in a shack with an old man now.
Yeah, does he even live here?
Their boyfriends.
He lives there. Yeah.
Or does he just show up whenever he needs like his sword fixed?
I assume he sleeps under that roof.
He does live there. The guy literally basically calls him a moocher at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, so... because Guts...
they're raising a child together.
True. Yeah, Guts is living out his destiny as a gay man. And...
with this elderly buff dude.
Yeah.
Who likes to make swords. Phallic symbols.
The Guts ultimate shows up, boyfriend.
Guts shows up and is like, can you fix my sword? And this guy's like, yeah, look at me fixing this sword for this dude who's blind to his own destiny.
Damn, you fought a really strong guy. Yeah. The audience couldn't have seen that, but I did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we forgot the part where the king shows up and is like, hey, Guts, that was cool. Why don't you join me? And he's like, I don't do that.
No, he just does it for the love of the game.
Yeah, he's sorry. I just humiliate people for the love of it. And, he walks away and, comes back to this guy. There's a little precocious girl who's like, hey, Guts, cool that you're back.
Yeah, she helps him with the training by tying up, like getting huge logs of wood and putting them on top of a waterfall.
Yeah.
And then cutting the net. When they fall.
Sometimes he fails and sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah, it's kind of sad that that Guts is only thing he could think to do with his life is just to do more sword stuff.
He's like, I'm good with the sword. What should I do with it? I guess I'll cut some wood. I don't know.
I'll get really good at it.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm going to become the best swordsman ever.
Yeah, and he keeps talking about following a dream, but he has no idea what his dream is.
His dream's being the best swords guy, I guess.
He's like, I don't know. For now. I guess I think swords are cool. What if I did more with swords? Like,
that's all he knows.
To be fair, the swordsmith doesn't seem to have any idea what he wants to do either.
Yeah.
Maybe he wants to make swords.
Yeah.
He didn't choose that life, though. He was born into it the same way Guts was with his...
But he does like... But they both like the sparks.
They both like the sparks.
True.
And the sparks are pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, and Guts is like, I guess I like the sparks because the sword is like a part of my body. Me and the sword, we're one. I'm a sword. He's a sword. Everyone's a sword.
Like swinging swords, grabbing them, gripping them, swinging them.
swinging them around, getting blood all over them.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't know what my dream is, but I guess I'm gonna go find it. See you guys. And before he leaves, a guy shows up, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm after this band of birds,
this pod of the hawk."
They're called the Band of the Falcon.
Yeah, he's like, they're fugitives now. One guy got captured for treason. He's like, what? He grabs the guy by the collar and he's like, what did you just say? Yeah, this guy has no idea what he's getting into, and Guts is just like shaking him down for info. And we don't see that guy again, so hopefully he didn't show up to this meeting, because he probably got murdered if he did.
Yeah.
He probably deserved it. He seemed rude.
See, after Guts finds out that Griffith has been captured, he's like, well, I guess I'm done with this dream. I'm going to go rejoin them, I guess.
Yeah. He's like, I guess I got nothing better to do.
I got to go troubleshoot Griffith's dream.
Yes. So
I got to do IT on Griffith.
Have you tried turning your dream on and off again, Griffith? And we get to our Band of the Hawk, and they're not so great. Casca's leading them, but she's at her wit's end. She's falling asleep, trying to eat food. She's too tired to eat. And Jadeau is like, "Hey, listen, you know, don't push yourself too hard. We got stuff to do and whatnot." And they're trying to make a plan to free Griffith. Which we'll see how that goes for them, but these bandits show up and they're getting ready for an attack, and they like set fire to.
If it's state sanctioned, Swanson.
True. Well, what do you call them then?
Marauders.
Brigands. Marauders.
Yeah, these marauders show up and they're like, "We're gonna capture these fools," and. Casca starts fighting, and everyone else is getting into the fight. And Casca kills a couple dudes, and then one guy's like, "Ha, got you now, lady." And they set fire to her like tent, and Guts shows up and immediately kicks this dude straight into the fire. He kicks this dude, and this guy rolls right into the fire and presumably just dies.
Rest in peace.
And Guts is like, "What's up? It's me." Everyone cheers. And that's the end of the episode. Guts is back.
You love to see it.
You love to see it, guys. You love to see that. And that takes us to our last episode, Confession. So, immediately following the last episode, these marauders are like, "Oh, holy shit. Is that the guy who killed 100 men?" And one of like the leaders is like, "Who cares if he killed 100 men? Their numbers are small."
And they got like 40 dudes here, don't worry.
Yeah. And Guts kills like 30 people at once. And
Corkus is like, "This is we would have won anyways."
Yeah, like Guts kills these people, kills so many dudes in one like time that everyone else is like, "Shit, let's just retreat. Let's get out of here." So they leave, and Guts is like, "Hey, what's up, everybody?" Everyone rushes to help him out. Corkus is like, "Hey, we should follow those guys and kill them." And Casca's like, "No, it's not worth it." And he's about to do it, and then everyone runs past him to say hey to Guts. And he's like, "Guts is nobody. He's an outsider, as far as I'm concerned." And Guts is like, "Cool." Guts pretty much is the meme of Duke Nukem saying, "That's a lot of words. Too bad I'm not reading them."
True. That's a factual statement.
And Corkus is like seething in the background. And they essentially give him the rundown. Griffith is being held somewhere as far as they know, and they're going to go free him. Guts is like, "Cool, I'm in." and they're catching up and whatnot, and Jadot is like, hey, listen, Casca's sort of run ragged. Why don't you do something about it?
Why don't you go hang out by the waterfall with her?
And he's like, huh? And Jadot's like, you're the only one who can.
Huh?
What does he mean by this? And him and Casca go, and Casca's like, hey, let's talk. And she immediately starts fighting him. Before we get to that, though, we do catch a little bit of what Griffith is up to. And,
it's not great.
I have one word to describe it. Pain.
You have any... You want to go into more detail, though,
no. than
just pain, Swanson? What's going on there?
He's being tortured.
I want to hear all about this.
Well, he's wearing his Hawk really mask, and he's presumably nude other than that, from what I can tell.
There are a lot of needles being inserted into him.
Yes. But not anywhere vital, apparently.
Gotta keep him alive if he's tortured, Swanson.
His tongue has been cut off.
Yeah. That's not cool. Great. That's not cool, no. Wrong. Bad. Even. And, this guy's been, I don't know, sticking stuff in him. Did we assume he got castrated, too?
Yeah.
I would assume that was part of
it. Seems like
a
safe assumption.
Very, yeah.
But I can't imagine, like...
I can't imagine they
for the crime. For the crime, I would have thought that would be, like, the main thing they would do, right?
Yeah, probably,
that'd be
right.
Step number one.
And, yeah, he,
first the dong, then the tong.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's what they say you're supposed to do. And, yeah, he's getting tortured. It's bad for him. Bad situation. Yeah,
one interesting change in the anime is they changed the torturer from being, like, this, like...
Donovan-esque figure?
Expand on that stare.
Well, he's definitely, like, very grotesque and barely human. Well, this guy's kind of tall and scrawny here. Normal human being.
He's just like a normal dude.
He looks like a slightly disheveled normal guy who likes to torture.
Yeah, but in the manga, the torturer sort of looks like a Fist of the North Star henchman.
Yeah, looks like he literally exists to be, like, a torture freak. Like, the fact that they keep this guy, like, on payroll or whatever is a testament to how disgusting they are.
Yeah, the king's personal torture freak.
Yeah, literally just like a man crafted for the sole purpose of loving torture and doing torture. This one, the guy seems like he enjoys it, but it's like slightly more professional, I guess. You get that feeling too, Stare?
Yes.
He's on the up and up with as far as torturing is concerned. Anyway, Guts and Casca. Casca's just going at Guts, fighting him real hard and whatnot. And Guts is like, whoa, what's all this about? And she's like, this is your fault. Like, none of this would have happened if you just kept following the dream you didn't want to follow, you dumb dumb. Which echoes what Korka says to him as well. And Rickard also kind of mentions that it is technically Guts' fault.
Alright, I found a pic of the manga version of the torturer, Swanson. And I will have to have you describe this.
He kind of looks like Igor.
He looks like a goblin.
And he does look like he enjoys torture. Perhaps
yeah,
a bit too
much.
Why
did they change this? Was it, like, too disturbing to have this guy?
I don't think anyone could take it seriously in animated form. Because of the art style shift, you know.
You think so?
Maybe.
I don't know. I think seeing this guy on screen moving around...
This guy looks like... This guy is 4'3".
And that's why it's so infuriating that he gets to do this. He's a little tiny man.
He's a little man. Yeah, but listen, he's a little man, but look at all the weird shit he's got in that satchel.
He's got his own like little torture kit.
He doesn't appear to have pupils. and he appears to have like a dog mouth.
Yeah, like he his looks lips kind of
apart.
Like a pug.
His top lips apart. Yeah, sort of.
I think that's. Is that a cleft lip?
Yes.
And he's got like that? He's got like a pig nose.
Yeah.
And a all receding this said, hairline.
He is sort of built in like the way like a big guy would be built.
Yeah, but his arms are absolutely skinny.
Yeah.
And his body sort of like compresses when you get to the waist.
Yeah. So there's three things. There's three angles you could take this. I don't know if it's censorship or not, but it could be A. It would have been like somehow too disturbing to have this freak torturing somebody on there, so they redesigned him so he was like a normal guy.
Mm-hmm.
B, like Stair was saying, maybe they couldn't animate him right so he could be taken seriously, so it wasn't like funny or something. Or C, do you think it might have been like some kind of like he's a offensive? Maybe
I think the director just that? I think the director just doesn't like him. Like maybe that's why
he just doesn't
like that's
like
also
this
why
guy.
They cut Puck out. They
just thought he was lame.
Yeah, he didn't fit the vibes that the director was going for.
Maybe, but I mean, he fits the vibes of torture pretty well. Like, it's, I don't know, this character is extremely disturbing to me.
Well, they cut Donovan, too.
Well, here's what I think in terms of, I mean, I think it's the first thing. I think they de-freaked this guy.
Yeah, probably.
And I think I think they were just like, we can't have a sick freak. It's just getting to torture Griffith. We need like a normal dude doing it.
Griffith needs a dignified torture.
Yes. And Guts and Casca are arguing. I mean, it's just Casca yelling at him pretty much. And then she stabbed him in the shoulder. And she's like, you could have blocked that. And he grabs the sword and he's like, so if this is my fault, then how, like, he's like, I don't know. It doesn't really sound like my fault. It sounds like Griffith did something shitty. He's pretty much like, this couldn't be my fault. And she's like, I agree, pretty much. And she's like, yeah.
I'm going to kill myself now.
Yeah, she breaks down and is pretty much like, hey, listen, you know, I've been following this crumbling dream for too long. Why don't you pick up the slack? And prepares to fall to her death off this cliff. And Griffith catches her with his busted
Guts.
Shoulder.
Griffith.
Yeah, Griffith's back, guys.
I don't think Griffith could catch her even if you want it. Tried.
Why? He's got that behelit. I'm sure that's going to be good. It gets ripped off of him, by the way, and thrown into the sewer. So I'm sure that's fine.
Also, did my brain block this off, or did they cut off the whole subplot of the King of Midland being like a nasty...
Oh yeah, they did cut that out. He is a nasty freak.
He's a nasty freak?
Yeah, who...
Oh god.
Yeah, let's not. Let's not.
Alright.
I mean, I think it is worth mentioning that the changes they made, and I want to see if Swanson thinks that it like if he's happier with these changes or not.
I don't know.
He has a Donovan moment of his own.
Oh God!
Oh, no.
So first of all, I believe the King of Midland does personally torture Griffith some himself in the original manga
because
it's personal. You know why it's personal, Swanson?
Because the princess is his daughter.
Because he wants to fuck his daughter.
Oh, it's a Trump scenario. Uh-oh.
Yes. True. Many are saying yes.
I can't believe Griffith laid his beautiful hands on my daughter.
It's supposed to be mine.
She's my daughter. Mine, not yours, Griffith. And so I will personally be executing Griffith after I do 3 years of torture on him. She tries to kill her. Casca tries to kill herself, and Guts is like, no. And grabs her with his busted up arm and just effortlessly pulls her up and throws her like back onto the ground. It's like, don't go near that cliff again. And they have like a heart to heart. And
a confession?
They confess their feelings for one another. And, ladies and gentlemen, we got him. The ship happens, ladies and gentlemen. Guts and Casca not only kiss, they get down and dirty.
The ultimate sex.
At long last.
Has occurred.
At long last.
I've been waiting for this.
Now, I've been told that in the manga, it's much more in depth.
No. No, we don't get to see him put it in.
No, so I just meant that, like, there's a longer build up to this.
There is definitely a lot more in the manga.
Yeah, somehow in this 25 episode series, they cut out there's still a lot of stuff cut out.
Yeah. And, but yeah, they do the nasty, as some say. And, afterwards, Guts is like, or she's like, why did you come back? And he's like, well, I have to help Griffith. And she's like, so are you back for good? And he's like, no, I'm following my dream as soon as I help Griffith with his. And
he's like, I'm doing this as a friend, as an equal. He didn't say that exactly, but that's basically what his attitude is.
Yeah. And she gets like, she's like, oh, so you're just like worried about yourself again and all that stuff. And he's like, yeah. Well, why don't you come with? And she's like, huh? He's like, yeah. Basically what he says is, yeah, I want to keep having sex with you.
Women love to hear that.
And she's like, well, you know, I mean, sure.
And we'll see why not.
Yeah. They have a nice moment, and we get a scene of the Behelit going down a lake as like a demon creature shows up, and that seems good.
Terrorizes the townsfolks.
Yeah, that seems like a good sign of where we're going. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, everyone's getting ready for the big show. They're gonna
get ready for the big day.
Yeah, and they are. They're planning their attack, and Guts is like, "All right, boss, you lead the way." And Casca's like, "Yeah, I like it when you call me boss." And that's pretty much we end with them getting ready for to save Griffith. Probably a year late, maybe. Maybe you should have saved him before he got his tongue cut out, but...
Among other things.
But, you know, better late than never, they say. And we're about to find that out next week on the show. But that's the end of these three episodes. What do we think, boys?
Good stuff, and...
Yeah, I'd love to see it. I hope that they turn it around.
They're really gonna solve the problem. Solve the problem.
Yeah, I hope they not only solve the problem, but I hope everything ends well for everybody.
I hope they find a new dick for Griffith.
Yeah, perhaps some sort of, like, robo-dick. Anyway, yeah, that's a tune-in for me. For this pretty good episodes this week.
I can't wait to see what happens next.
Definitely a tune-in, and I can't wait to see what happens next. Oh my god. There's a lot they cut out from that sex scene.
Yeah, it's basically good, a naked gun.
Yeah, they obviously can't air that on TV, but also there's
spill the tea, sis.
All right. Well, I mean, Swanson. So Guts and Casca are having this intimate moment,
mm-hmm.
And let's see. Give me 1 second. You're going to have to edit this delay out because something broke. Yeah. During this scene, this beautiful scene of making love, we get this imagery.
Oh, yeah. He does have a flashback. This is like...
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is like the moment where he gets past it.
Yeah.
So this is Donovan... And he's like,
yeah, he has a.
He's looking real sinister.
Yeah, I'm not showing you the whole picture because it is deeply disturbing imagery, Swanson. But yeah, he has a flashback to his abuse as a child. But he temporarily goes into like this state where he's like, you know, basically, you know, experiencing trauma again, but. he seems to get over it for the most part and able to have a good time with her anyway. So that's good. Good for him.
Also, the location they have sex in is a bit more fairy tale-esque.
Very scenic. There's trees.
Like, they find it, yeah, they're like...
Scenic fuck
spot. In the woods. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, that's beautiful.
That's where you'd be doing it.
Oh yeah, he almost strangles Casca trying to murder his imagined younger self.
But he doesn't go all the way there. He gets in that state for just a brief moment, and then he's able to stop. So good for him.
Yeah, you know, basically confesses everything to Casca, which is kind of, I think, an important scene. You might want to keep in, even if you cut Donovan.
Yeah, they totally cut that whole thing, and it definitely makes the character stuff a little weaker for sure.
And you shouldn't cut Donovan, by the way, justice for
Maybe you should replace him with a normal looking black guy.
Just a guy.
Yeah, just a dude.
See, like, they replaced the torturer with a normal guy, but they couldn't replace Donovan with that same normal guy.
No.
I don't think you need to have it like that intricately connected.
Can you imagine if somehow they did that where the torturer was the same guy, Guts' backstory? How stupid that would be.
Yeah, that's some Disney like MCU related like connectivity there. Like he shows up in a post credit scene.
Yeah, like you just see him reach for the torture tongs.
Yeah. And everyone knows what they are, too. They're like, those are his torture tongs!
Because they have the words torture written on them, like a...
Yeah. Well, like a political cartoon. One set says torture. He has two. He has one says torture, the other says tongs.
No, one says tour, the other says tur.
Yes. And he grabs them both, and people are hooting and hollering when they're watching this. Anyway, yeah, this is that's a tune in on Berserk. And hey, listen, that'll about do it for this week's episode of the show. As always, of course, this is a Buy Me a Coffee episode. And if you want to buy us a coffee on anything that your heart desires, all you got to do is go over to buymeacoffee.com/TVTuners. A single coffee gives you a single episode for us to discuss anything you want us to. Any shows that you you thought, hey, why don't you do an in-depth episode on this?
Buy an entire series worth so I can get more model kits.
Yes. Sure. For Stair's sake, do that. And yeah, that's about it for this week's episode of the show. We'll see you guys next week for more demons. Until then, keep fighting with your sword. Bye. It's over.
I found him.
Hey, folks. Time for the TV Tuners Fact of the Week. Did you know that Stairmaster redacted? Thank you.